brand new three-week series as we look at our Bible verse for the year from Romans 15, 7. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, every organisation, every company, every charity seeks to be welcoming in their approach. But the wonderful thing about our verse for the year is that we're not just being welcoming for the sake of it. We're not just being welcoming just so we can get some more bums on pews, but that we're being welcoming because Christ has welcomed each of us into his family. I recently heard the question posed, what is life all about? Why does the universe exist? Why do people exist? What is the meaning of it all? And the answer is that God wishes to build a family. That's why the universe exists. That's why our world exists. That's why we exist. Because God wants to be building a family. And as he has welcomed us into the family, so we want to extend that welcome to bring others into his family as well. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the first part about how we welcome one another. Next week, as Teresa said, a few of us are going to be away in France. And so George is going to come and speak about how God welcomes us. And then in the third and final week, I'm going to speak on about how we welcome God into our church. It is tricky for me to try and ascertain, it's tricky for me to try and measure how welcoming this church is. Because the first time that I ever came through those doors, and that's because I thought that was the entrance, not over there, was when I was coming to preach and lead a service and preach with a peep, if you know what that means. And so therefore, we got a wonderful welcome, but even if you're all really nasty people, I would have expected us to have got a nice welcome. And so it's difficult for us to give an anecdote on how welcoming you have been to us. But for many people, coming along to a church, and I don't mean really this church, but really any church, can be daunting. It can be scary. Some people, when they're thinking about attending a church for the first time, for whatever reason it might be coming along to a service, but it might be coming along to a funeral or a wedding or anything like that. Sometimes there can be real worries and concerns about coming along to church and how scary it might be. There might be material concerns. So many people picture churches to be very cold places, which would actually be quite nice today, wouldn't it? But cold places, dark places, damp places. A lot of people imagine churches to have these, to have pews in them that are really hard and uncomfortable. Some people will worry that if they go along to church, they're going to be handed a service book, which is going to be incredibly difficult to follow, where everyone around them seems to know how to navigate it, but they just get completely lost and feel embarrassed. And obviously, there's the concern that if you go along to church, you're going to be given a very weak cup of tea. But there's also social concerns that visitors might have when they come along to church. They might be concerned that if they come through the doors, all they're going to come across are little cliques, little groups of people who are just facing inward towards themselves and not be looking outward to welcome. There might be the opposite concern, which they may feel like they might be pestered. There may be not many visitors come along to a church. And so when one person comes in who is new, everyone might just start clambering all over them and make them feel uncomfortable in that way. There might be the concern about a dress code, that you might turn up to church without a tie on, and everyone else is wearing, well, the men at least, are wearing a tie. Or coming along to church dressed super smart, thinking that you should be, when really everyone is in t-shirt and shorts. There's that concern that you might sit in someone's pew or sit in someone's seat. And I always thought, yeah, that must And that must have happened one time somewhere. But just recently I was talking to a friend of mine who was preaching at my old church, and he came along to preach the service, to lead and preach, and he brought his whole family with him, and his family sat in one of the pews. And months and months later, just very recently, I heard that when he went and his family went, his family were asked to get up and to move because they were sat in someone else's seat. So it does really happen, because that is a very, on the whole, a very friendly church. And then you get some people who, a bit tongue-in-cheek, say that they're worried that if they step into a church, then somehow they're just going to be set alight, set aflame, because they've entered a church. That was a comment that I got from two separate people a couple of weeks ago when they came and visited here. They were saying it as a joke, but underneath there was clearly a concern that they would not feel welcome in this place. As a church, wherever we are in our welcome, and it's really difficult to try and measure, to be welcoming is incredibly essential for the life of our church, but also for the future of our church as well. There was some research that was done recently in the US, so it doesn't exactly fit our context, but I would imagine it's quite similar. And researchers were going along to hundreds of different congregations and asking people this question, or this statement rather. In our congregation, people go out of their way to be friendly to strangers and newcomers. Do you agree with that, or do you disagree with that? Okay. And so you'd hope that with a statement like that, asked amongst all sorts of different churches, the response would be really high. And in growing churches, in churches that were growing in attendance, churches that were growing in membership, 98% of people agreed with that statement, which is what you would expect, right? There's nothing shocking in that. But what is shocking is that in the declining churches, less than 50% of the people asked could agree with that statement. No wonder they're in decline. Those are the consequences of not being a welcoming church. And you can just imagine, can't you, if less than 50% of us agreed with that statement, you could understand if someone new walked through that door, to that kind of response, they'd probably only come once, and they would probably leave and go down the road to a church that had that 98%. So it's important for us to be looking at how we can be a welcoming church. I believe that we are a welcoming church, as we are. But how do we keep going on and going up in that upward trajectory? And to do that, to discover some principles in how we can welcome one another, we're going to be looking at Abraham, one of the friends of God. And so Paul is going to come up and read for us, and we're going to read Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through to 8, and it's on page 17 if you have one of the church Bibles.
Genesis 18, verses 1 to 8. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to the tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of the tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If you had found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let the waters be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three sheaves of fine flour and knead it, and take some and bake some bread." Then he ran up to the local herd and selected a choice, tender calf, and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought there some curds and milk and the calf. and had been prepared, and he set them before them, and while they ate, he stood near them under a tree.
Thank you. In that very hot part of the world, even hotter than here at the moment, it was typical for people to be having siestas in the middle of the day. They would take a break from their work. They wouldn't be traveling anywhere, but they would be staying inside their tents and would have a nap in the rest. Have a nap in the heat. And therefore, Abraham, no doubt, would have been surprised to have seen these three strangers in the distance coming towards him, traveling in the middle of the day in the scorching heat. It turns out that these three strangers are actually the Lord, accompanied by two angels. And when we see the Lord in this context, we're talking about the pre-incarnate Son of God. Okay? So, in the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before the incarnation, before the Son of God came to this earth as Jesus, he appeared to many within our Old Testament stories, and he appeared as the Lord. He appeared in as if he had human flesh. And he is accompanied by two angels. And we're not sure at what point of them traveling towards Abraham where he starts to recognize them. In two previous occasions to this passage and this point of Abraham's life, the Son of God has already appeared to Abraham. And so we don't know whether he took on the same kind of human form each time or something different. But we do see that Abraham at some point recognizes the Lord and two accompanying angels. And Abraham was very keen to welcome them and to give hospitality. Hospitality in those days and in that part of the world was seen as the first law. Hospitality was the first law of the East. And therefore he took it upon himself to welcome them. And we see four things, four ways in which he welcomes these three strangers. The first thing is that he took the initiative. Abraham at this point is an incredibly wealthy man. Today we might describe him as a sheikh. He had 300 servants looking after him, looking after his property, looking after all that he had. Abraham also had a wife named Sarah, who in that culture at that time would have been also been busy serving. And yet despite having these 300 servants looking after him in every single way, and despite having a wife as well, Abraham takes it upon himself to take the initiative, to roll up his sleeves, and to be active in welcoming and showing hospitality to these three strangers. So he takes the initiative. The second thing is that there is an urgency in his welcome. At this point, Abraham is 99 years old. And yet we see in our passage, he hasn't stopped running. If you're anywhere close to 99, I imagine you probably haven't run for a while. But Abraham, maybe he hadn't run for a while, but he was running to show hospitality. We see in our scripture that he runs to greet them. He doesn't just wait and think, okay, these people are coming towards me, I'll wait for them. But no, he got up in the heat and he ran. A 99-year-old ran towards them. He also runs to his wife Sarah to ask her to bake some bread. He also runs to the herd to pick the choice calf as well. He is urgent in his welcome. He takes the initiative, he has urgency, but also he is generous. He's not expecting these three strangers, these three guests to be coming. And yet he doesn't open the fridge and just see what leftovers he has. But he goes to great lengths to make sure that these three strangers have the best welcome possible. He serves the best food. It says that he serves bread which was made with the finest flour. He picked out the best calf. He spent time, he spent energy, he spent money, what he had, to be blessing and to be welcoming these people. He took the initiative, he was urgent, he was generous, but also Abraham was humble in his welcome as well. As he ran over to these three men, he bowed towards them. As a man who was so wealthy, as a man who would have had a great reputation, he would have been used to people bowing to him. But out of hospitality, he was bowing to them. Although he had great wealth, although he had great position, although he was a great pillar in the community, he humbly called himself a servant. He wasn't giving himself any title at all. He wasn't trying to make something of himself. He was trying to make something of his guests. And so he called himself a servant. Although he had put on a wonderful feast of bread and of meat and goodness knows what else for these three strangers, he's humble about how he describes it. He describes it as a morsel of bread. He's not trying to showcase everything that he's got. He's being humble in front of his guests. And then we see that as these three guests then tuck in to this feast that they have been served, he stands by. He's not sitting down eating with them, but he is respectfully standing up, 99-year-old man standing up in the heat, watching and waiting on these three servants. Abraham takes the initiative. He is urgent, he is generous, and he is humble in his welcome. And Abraham, yes, we know he makes some mistakes in his life, but he's actually given a wonderful title in the Bible that no one else is given, and that is the friend of God. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, in Isaiah 41, verse 8, and in James 2, verse 23, three places in Scripture, he is described as the friend of God. No one else in the Scripture, out of all of these hundreds and hundreds of people who are mentioned in the Bible, no one else is described as the friend of God. We see instances where you have someone like Lazarus who is described as friends with Jesus. But to be the actual friend of God is something which is exclusively given to Abraham. And you just wonder, with such a welcome, with such hospitality like this, not only was he serving, not only was he welcoming, but within all of that, he was actually showing friendship in his welcome to these three strangers. Today, we have a term that goes around different churches, different movements, different theological circles, which is called radical hospitality. It's this idea that in being hospitable, we need to be radical. We need to be extreme. We need to go over the top in the ways in which we welcome. There's another word that has been going around, and that seems to be said more and more right here in SBC, and that is that word, excellence. That we should be striving towards excellence in the way in which we welcome and the ways in which we serve. Abraham clearly had this, understood this sense of radical hospitality, and he clearly understood what it meant to show excellence in welcome. But it isn't always so obvious in our churches today. There's two dangers that churches can come across when it comes to being welcoming and being hospitable. And the first danger is that we can, and I'm not speaking about SBC specifically, I'm talking about churches generally, where we can be complacent socially. In my research for this message, I read about a woman who was going to and visiting various churches just to see what their welcome was like. And in one instance, she asked one of the parishioners, "Do you think this is a family? Do you think this is a friendly church?" And this woman, like you would expect, would say, "Oh yeah, this is an incredibly friendly church." But this woman who was doing this research was thinking a little bit more deeply through what was being said. Because for this woman, the woman who had been asked whether it was a friendly church, who has so many friends in the church is indeed a friendly church. But for myself, for this visitor, the stranger in the midst, it was anything but a friendly church. And so we can become complacent when we've been part of a church for a while. Because we've got our own friendship group, because we've got people who are always smiling and coming and talking to us each Sunday, yeah, it's a welcoming and friendly church. But what about the person who doesn't know anyone? What about the person who comes and visits for the first time? What about the person who comes who hasn't been for a while? We can't assume they're getting the same welcome that we are getting when we come to church. When we have guests coming, do they get that same welcome that is extended to those who are already part of our family? So that's the first danger, that we can be complacent socially. But the second danger is that we can also compromise materially. There is a very influential leader of a movement up in Bradford who says this: "The church generally is famous for being a bit of a shambles. Jokes are often made about jumble sales and roof funds. No one expects the church to excel at anything it does." Now, this is a church leader, and therefore, I guess he can feel quite brave in using what's really quite strong language. But I think he has a point in the church generally, of how we aren't always striving for radical hospitality, where we're not always striving for excellence, but rather we compromise materially. We only need to look at different organisations or different companies and see the extent to which they wish to give their people or their visitors or their customers a really good welcome. If you just think about car dealerships, for example. Just recently, I was talking to someone who knows a lot about car dealerships, and he said that the car manufacturers really dictate how car dealerships look and how they operate. So if you wanted to start up a franchise of a car dealership, you can't start making your own decisions and choices as to how your car dealership will function, or even how it will look. The car manufacturers have certain standards that they impose on these franchises. So if you go to a particular car dealership and you're looking at a brand, you could go to the other side of the country, and what you should see is a car dealership selling that kind of car, which is very similar. High standards are put on the presentation and the welcome to potential customers. And car manufacturers come down really heavy on car dealerships that don't keep up that sense of welcome and that sense of excellence. They are quite happy to take away their deal, to take away their cars from being sold, because they only want their cars to be sold in excellence. But when it comes to the church, we can become far more compromising. We can so often make do. I come from a background of youth ministry, and youth ministry in particular often has a sense of we will make do with what we have got. Over the years, I don't know how many times I've been approached as a youth worker with people's, from the church, their junk, saying, I don't want this anymore, but I thought that the youth might want it. And so I smile, I say thank you very much, I put it in my room, I leave it there for a couple of months, and then I throw it in the bin. Because we shouldn't be making do. We should be honouring our young people with what we give them. We shouldn't be giving them everything secondhand, thinking that it'll do. Because I know perfectly well that if they come from their homes and they've just been playing PlayStation 4, it's not going to look great and it's not going to be very honouring, it's not going to be excellent, it's not going to be hospitable. If they then come along to the youth group and come from playing their PlayStation 4 to be playing a PlayStation 2. Now, if we have no interest in gaming consoles, we'll think, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? Well, if it matters to them, then yes, it does matter. And we need to be making sure that we are being generous, that we are being excellent, that we are being radical in the ways in which we welcome people, whether they're young people or whether they're a different age. I just need to take the example of the sofas that we have in the youth lounge. Some of them are gross, and they're secondhand. And maybe they were nice at one point, but obviously they've been used. At what point do we say, that's not good enough? That isn't radical hospitality. That isn't excellence. That isn't honouring our young people. When are we going to get our wallets out and buy something nice to honour them with? And being radical, being excellence doesn't always mean that we're going to be pouring cash into different things. Sometimes it's just the thought that counts and the little things that we can do. Just last week when we were showing one of the football matches, it was getting really hot. Hannah and I had some freeze pops, or what everyone else calls them, ice poles. We went, got them out of our freezer and we started giving them out. One of our visitors said, oh, wow, you're really spoiling us. For goodness sake, it was a freeze pop. It was like 5p's worth. We don't always, what I'm saying here is we don't always need to be opening our wallets. Sometimes it's just that those tiny little thoughts, those tiny little acts of welcome, which can make such a difference, that can make people feel at home here. So, how do we as a church, because I want to make today really practical, how do we maintain a positive trajectory in showing initiative, urgency, generosity, and humility? Well, for that, we go back to Abraham. And the key, I think, in this story of Abraham, in him showing his radical hospitality, in him showing excellence in his welcome, was that despite all of these 300 servants that he had, and a wife, and others around him as well, despite all of these people around, he saw himself as a host, and he took responsibility for everything that was within his camp. He didn't leave the responsibility to others, but he took it upon himself. And I believe if we then apply that to us, then part of the striving that we need to do is to see ourselves as hosts of this place, for us all to see ourselves as welcomers to this place, for us all to be taking that individual responsibility in making people feel welcome. We have people on various rotas here. We have people on the welcome rota. We have people serving tea and coffee. We have all kinds of rotas for hopefully making people feel welcome. But what if all of us each week took on that responsibility and that privilege of being welcoming people? If we saw ourselves as all being on the rota in one sense every week, what kind of difference could that make? So some really practical things here about how we can take responsibility in being hosts. So the first thing is that we come regularly to church. When you wake up in the morning, if you're not on a rota, you have this decision to make. Am I going to come along to church this morning? And you might be thinking, I'm just too tired and I don't really feel like it today. Or maybe it's too hot. Or maybe you've just got something else that you would rather do. If you have the mentality of being a host, you know that you need to be here. And it isn't just for your own well-being. It isn't just for your own relationship with God. It's not just for your own time of worship, but that you are here to welcome visitors and to welcome those who are new to our church. If you're not here, you can't welcome. The second thing is, maybe for some of you, you could turn up to church just slightly earlier than you do. Now, I know for a number of people, you know, you might be trying to get your kids ready, or, you know, it might take you a long time to get ready in the morning, or you might be coming from a distance. And if you do come at 29 minutes past 10, or if you come at 20 to 11 or whatever, then no sweat, you know, it's great to have you here. But if you could come here a few minutes earlier, then you can come here as more as a host rather than just an attender. If you're not here when people come and visit, then how can you give them a welcome? How amazing would it be if someone does come at 25 past 10 in the morning for the first time, and they see a foolish church of people smiling and welcoming them? How wonderful would that be? The third thing is that to be good hosts, we need to be looking out for new people, that we take that time to be looking around and see people and think, yep, they're new, I should go and talk to them. That doesn't mean that we all rush at once and that we bother them, but that we're considerate, but we have an eye out for people, especially if they're by themselves, that we can go and give them a welcome. And then the fourth and final thing is to be looking out for the state of our building. You don't have to be that observant to know that there are certain things at this church which could be improved on. And if we just leave it to the wonderful people who oversee that area of church life, then we're burdening them with so much. If only we could be looking out for things, and rather than just saying to our neighbour, look at the state of this or look at the state of that, if we could do something a bit more proactive about it by highlighting it to people who it matters to, or try and create some kind of solution to it, e.g. the sofas, if we can do something really practical about it, then how amazing would that be? So, four practical ideas there. Come regularly, come early, look out for new people, look out for areas of improvement in our fabrics. I do believe that SBC is a welcoming place. In my research, I've been horrified by some of the anecdotes that I've read about some other churches, and we are certainly not in that place. But let's not be complacent. Let's not compromise. But let's continue in striving towards making this place a welcoming place, where we can make strangers our friends, just as Abraham did, where we can make people feel welcome, where we can make people feel like this is their new home, not just in the building, but as a family group as well. Next week, we're going to see, today has been pretty theologically light, I should say. Next week, George is going to bring a message. No pressure. If you've already planned it, you might need to change it. It's going to bring to us the fundamental reason of why we welcome one another. And that is because the Lord Jesus Christ, in his grace and in his mercy, in his radical hospitality and in his excellence, has welcomed each of us into his family. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is a place of welcome, that we each have a story to tell of how we have felt welcomed the first time that we have come here, or how we feel welcome each time we come here. But we do pray that we would not become complacent, that we wouldn't just label ourselves as a friendly church and think that that's okay. But Lord, as you seek and strive to renew and to transform your family, so that we would be seeking the same things, please would you give us eyes to see the new people in our midst and to make them feel welcome. Please would you give us the eyes to see the state of our building and areas which can be improved, not for the sake of it, not for our own well-being, not for our own sense of achievement, but so that this would be a welcoming place to people who are seeking a home. Would many new people find their way home at SBC? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're now going to sing our final song, and then we'll finish with a blessing. So we're going to sing "To God Be the Glory."